Final hour of the Hoffman Show on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Anthony, I cannot believe it's 6 o'clock already. I literally looked up at the corner of my laptop to see what time it was, and I was like, I'm sorry, what? Like, I know the segment we just did. We did Around the NFL, which we do every Friday at 5:30. I'm in disbelief that it is 6 o'clock. This show has absolutely flown by.
Time flies when you're having fun, man. It is a football. I'm not going to lie. These Fridays be flying by, man. I don't know what it is. They flying, though.
They are flying. We got more analysis of the Commanders. How can their offense match up with this Giants defense? We'll talk about it coming up at 6:30. Take command style to wrap up our preview show. But what we do at 6 o'clock is a little thing we like to call the Pick 6.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick 6 at 6.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right, here's how this goes. Our Pick 6 on Fridays, Wednesdays and Thursdays, we give you the top headlines of the day. Fridays, we pick six players, three from me, three from Anthony, who we think are most interesting to watch on Sunday in preparation for the Commanders matchup. So who do we have our eyes on Sunday? And Anthony, I have a quick question for you. We used to do this slightly differently, where we would pick the six players we are most intrigued by in terms of like who's most important to the Commanders win. Now that we're doing most interesting players, should we also make opposing players eligible? Like, can I pick a Giant that I think will have a huge impact that I'm watching, and then we can talk about it from the Commander's perspective of like who is responsible for stopping them potentially?
I like that. That's a nice little twist, you know?
I don't know nothing. They didn't give me this job out of charity.
I think we can do that.
I like that twist, too. Okay, I like that twist, too. We're going to roll with it.
So can I do that as well?
That would be really funny if I said no. I'm just like, yeah, it's just me. No, of course you can. But I get to go first this week because you went first last week. So with that, Anthony, please tee up for me.
Number one.
There we go. Number one is number 97. Number 97 in blue, and that is Dexter Lawrence. Dexter Lawrence is probably the best player on the field on Sunday. He is a monstrous nose tackle. It's really interesting. You'll hear Logan talk about this in Take Command coming up at 6:30. He is not, like, he doesn't have some of the physical, like, freakish traits that, like, Warren Sapp had or even Vita Vea. Like, he just gets the job done. Like, he's brutally strong. He plays with a high motor. I would imagine if you're an offensive lineman, he's one of your least fun days at work all season long. And so it's going to take multiple people to deal with him. Obviously, it starts with Tyler Biadasz at center. Both guards are going to be a huge deal here. Cliff Kingsbury is going to have to make sure that their run game is aware of where he is, you know, and you go from there. He is easier to block in terms of assignment than Vita Vea because Vea moved around a lot more. He's more of a penetrator. Lawrence is more of what Logan you'll hear him call a read player, where he can kind of just hold up and be like, okay, which way are you going? Now I'm going to take this 300-pound man, throw him out of the way, and go whichever way the play is going, versus Vea, who kind of forces the issue. Both are extremely difficult to play against because they both do their job really well, but they go about doing it differently. And so is there a way to take advantage of that? Is there a way to neutralize him? He's also an effective pass rusher. The perimeter run game feels like a good play. I also think there's some stuff schematically that will become really important. I'll get to that with my next guy. But I'm going to say the most important player that could, like, he's the guy that could wreck the game the most for the Commanders is Dexter Lawrence. So the first ever opposing player in a Pick 6 is Big Sexy Dexy, 97 in blue.
I love the pick. And, you know, Tom Brady, he usually says it's not necessarily the edge defenders that, you know, give him the most problems. It's the push up the middle. And I think Sexy Dexy, like, he can do it all. He can stop the run. He can push the pocket. And then when you have edges on the outside, like Kayvon and Brian Burns, it just presents a huge problem. And it's probably a good thing that they've resorted to just allowing the front four to, you know, get pressure on the quarterback. But yeah, here's my number two.
Number two.
My number two. So I'm not going to go defensive tackle on the Giants. I'm going to go defensive tackle on the Commanders. And I'm going to go with Daron Payne. I think last week we saw a lot of missed opportunities. He had a chance at a sack. John Allen also had a chance at a sack or two. And I did some research, Craig. In the last seven games.
Anthony's coming to research. Look at this guy.
A little something. Daniel Jones, he's been sacked in his last seven games 35 times. And I think if we can, you know, add to that, I think it's going to start with Daron Payne and John Allen. I think Daron Payne is going to have a little bit more of an advantage just because of how quick he is when it comes to, you know, getting off his block. So I think Daron Payne is poised to have a big game against Daniel Jones. And I think this week they're just going to capitalize on all those missed opportunities they had last week.
I think that is a great pick. I think I've said this now for quite a while. I mean, going back to the summer, I mean, frankly, I said it last year too, especially when John was hurt. I think Daron Payne's been a better player for a couple years at this point. And when we did our top 10 countdown of most important Commanders this summer, I put Allen ahead of Payne because I think they can find ways to move Payne around and potentially create some matchups. Week one, it didn't necessarily happen, and it might take a while for them to really experiment with it. Obviously last week it was Luvu and Armstrong and those guys on the edge, and I do think once Johnny Newton is back, which looks unlikely this weekend, Keim reporting that, and Dan Quinn was non-committal, I think when Newton comes back, it becomes easier to do this because you can have really good quality inside, not have a huge drop off, and have Payne on the outside. But I wonder if eventually he lines up some at like defensive end. Imagine like Frankie Luvu body type on one edge against the tackle, and then Daron Payne on another, and the next third down they switch. Like, there's some funky stuff they could get to, but I think Payne is such a stud what he does, and I think that his Giants offensive line is a lot better, but there still are some spots inside that, you could take advantage of. And I think Payne could play a huge role this weekend. I mean, they've had games where Allen, like, wasn't there a game they had like 9 sacks against the Giants not that long ago? Like, they've gotten after Daniel Jones quite a bit at times, and Jones has been able to beat them anyway with some big plays, if I'm thinking of the right game. So, because the Giants offensive line was terrible last year. So it's better. But I think Payne plays a huge role on Sunday.
Number three.
So I mentioned I would get to some other interesting, you know, ways to help in protection and some different personnel packages that I like for the Commanders with my next guy. My next guy is someone who I think is going to be a great player for this team, but was very quiet in his debut. And that is Ben Sinnott, tight end number 82. Here's why I think that they could have this could be a big Ben Sinnott week. And I think Ertz, Sinnott, and Bates will be out there quite a bit. The Giants are banged up in the secondary. Some of their corners are banged up. But they are also banged up at linebacker, and Micah McFadden, I don't think, is going to play. So if the Giants, without their second-best inside linebacker, are going to be light at that position, you want to get them in heavier personnel with a backup linebacker out there. How do you do that? Multiple tight ends on the field. So with Ben Sinnott's versatility, you can be in 13 personnel and have Zach Ertz, or even 12 personnel with Ertz and Sinnott, no John Bates, 13, 3 tight ends, all 3 of them together. Now, definitely New York's going to probably match that in base, and now you've got a backup linebacker on the field. And even though he's a rookie, I'll take Ben Sinnott. Or if you can get him matched up, Zach Ertz against a backup linebacker. Bobby Okereke is real good, but he's only one dude. And so I think using some heavier personnel is a really good way. And then, like, let's get on the perimeter. And if the Giants want to match that in nickel and dime, then, like, let's get our tight ends out there. If I'm Cliff Kingsbury, and have them crush defensive backs, and let's get on the edge and run a little bit with Jaden and with the running backs. But let's run away from Dexter Lawrence. And if they're going to match that in base, well, now we feel good throwing out of that because we have Ertz and Sinnott that are good pass catching tight ends. Bates has come on. That part of his game has grown a little bit over the past couple of years. He's not great, but if he's on their third best guy to cover a tight end, that's not necessarily not an advantage for Washington either. So I think that could be a huge personnel grouping for them this weekend, is using that 13 or even that 12, and Sinnott could be a bigger part of it. Also, like, hey, let's get a fullback in there and kind of, you know, seal off an edge here if Dexter Lawrence gets any penetration. There's not a lot of plays where that probably is going to happen, but who knows? I think Sinnott could have a bigger role this weekend than he did in his debut because of the Giants' injury situation and some of the personnel groupings that Cliff is going to want to use and his versatility. So Ben Sinnott, number two for me, number three overall in our pick six.
Number four, I'm sort of kind of torn, but I think I'm going to go with Noah Igbinoghene / Michael Davis. I think these are the guys that are going to be filling in for Emmanuel Forbes. And I was really surprised that we didn't see any of Michael Davis last weekend. But I think based off, you know, how long Emmanuel Forbes is going to have to be out, I think this is a good chance for us to, you know, see what our cornerback depth is. And also, that is one of our weaknesses on the defensive side of the ball. So I just feel as though it's going to be important to, you know, see how we, or what technique and things of that sort are being taught to those guys to, you know, combat what Daniel Jones is going to want to do. I think I read somewhere where his, like, yards to his target was like 4.5 yards or something like that. So I think just being able to, like, understand that and, you know, see if those guys are coachable, I think is going to be huge.
Yeah, his ADOT was not very good in week one, average depth of target. But he will, like, it was interesting watching the tape. Like, there's definitely some big play hunting that Daniel Jones does, right? Like, there's some design stuff that's a lot closer to the line of scrimmage that brings that number down. And then there's times that Jones will stand in the pocket and, like, hunt big plays. And sometimes he's taking sacks. And so you might be looking for a big play and get 0 yards depth of target credit for it because you get sacked. Or you have to throw the ball away at the last second. So I do think it's important to clarify that the results of his ADOT, his depth of target, were not very good. But it's not because they're not looking for explosives. Also, in a lot of the intermediate game, this is, you know, when they do get some of these targets off, like, he's a tick slow. I think the corners in this game are really, really important because I think there's going to be, like, you're facing Daniel Jones. You're going to have possibilities of getting interceptions. This team did not create the turnovers that they wanted to in preseason / in training camp. They did not create a turnover in week one. I do not think they win this football game without creating at least one turnover. Their opportunities are going to present themselves. Please take advantage of them. Which brings me to my last guy I want to mention, Anthony.
Number five.
To wrap up the pick six, and that is Quan Martin. Quan certainly could be a guy that has opportunities to make those plays. But last year, you know, Quan played really well last year. And I think by the end of the year, right? Early season, not very good. He had way too much on his plate. That was a coaching failure far more than it was a player failure. They simplified some stuff. They got him in one position. He played a lot better at the end of the year. He's playing fast. He's playing physical. He was grading out pretty well. And as long as, I don't know, you didn't have him matched up against Tyreek Hill one-on-one in a terrible alignment, then he did all right. But there were some times last year in some of these games earlier in the season where Quan's issue wasn't necessarily, it was that inexperience and having too much on his plate, but it ultimately came down to communication, where he was involved in some of the blown coverages last year with Emmanuel Forbes, with some of the other guys, but the constant in some of those was Quan. And last week we saw it with Quan and Mike Sanders still. And that's not to say that all of these are Quan's fault. But as the safety here, as the guy in the middle of the defense doing a lot of communicating, he can help fix it. And I think that's a really important distinction. It might not be his fault. The rules might have said Mike Sanders still was supposed to go run with Jalen McMillan up the sideline, and he's the one that messed it up, not Quan. I don't know what their rules are. I don't know whose fault that was. But better communication means we never find out that there was a mistake made in the first place. There's mistakes made in football games all the time defensively that we never know about because they are covered with good communication. And so as, you know, the Giants will inevitably watch the Tampa tape and use some stacks, use some bunches, use some trips formations, use things with switch releases where they have routes running into each other and they're going to require communication, especially on third downs in man-to-man situations for the Commanders. Can they finally break the streak of years where they have struggled with that kind of stuff? Think of all the teams that crushed them with mesh concepts, just receivers running past each other in the middle of the field, dudes getting lost on third downs for years and years. Like the third down defense for years under Del Rio had similar bugaboos. I do not think this is the same defense. There is a lot of stuff on tape that is more nuanced than any fan cares about that suggests they're already better on a lot of fundamentals. But the big mistakes have been the same through 1 week. Quan Martin was at the center of a few of them. I would love to see him start to solidify the communication part of his game. As Joe Witt said yesterday, communication is not just about what's said. It's about what's received and acknowledged. So everyone's on the same page. Quan Martin, I think he gets a pick this weekend. I'm calling it. Calling a pick for Quan Martin. Go out and make a play. Quan, it's your time.
Let's get it, man.
Number six.
Number six, Craig. This one might surprise you. But I'm going with the kicker who we just signed this week.
That's a great call. That I can't believe we haven't talked about the kicker more this week.
Austin Seibert. I think we're kicker fatigued, to be honest. Like, there have been so many kickers that have come here, been here, you know, for a couple of weeks, you know, or a couple of games. And it's more so we got to figure out if this guy is our kicker for the short term, maybe the long term. But I think he's going to be important just because we saw how important Kay York's missed field goals were last week in terms of, like, how successful the offense is. So I think Austin Seibert, he has some little shoes to fill, I guess, coming in here for his first game against the Giants.
Yeah, and look, I think it's deeper than that, too. Like, so Seibert's career, he's perfect under 40 yards. He does not have a big leg. And so over 40 yards, his percentage is really poor. He's only 2 for 6 career from 50. I think he's like 17 of 24 or something, 40 to 49.
Mm-hmm.
So it not only is it just like the obvious of like, hey, dude, do you make the kicks that you're sent out for? How does this affect the strategy? Like, Dan Quinn was really conservative last week. 56-yarder for Cade York. Hey, he's got a big leg. Send him out there. Like, those were situations, 47-yarder. You could have easily gone for it. It was like 4th and 3, you know, 4th and relatively short, 4th and gettable in areas of the field where a lot of coaches are going for it. You know, obviously kick coverage. If you can't just say, hey, automatic, this is a touchback. If you decide you're at a point where you don't want to mess with a return, Austin Seibert can't guarantee you a touchback based off what his leg was. I think I read he hit a 52-yarder in the preseason with the Jets. So maybe he's been working on it, you know, getting stronger as you go in your career. But he is not Joey Sly. He is not Cade York. He is not these guys that can just, you know, with Dustin Hopkins used to be able to do, just boom the ball through the end zone whenever told to. Mm-hmm. And so from a kick coverage standpoint and the potential for explosive plays there, although Gunnar Olszewski, the punt returner for the Giants, is out. I don't know if he was returning kicks for them too, but just a note. And fourth down decisions, when you're above 40-yard field goals, how does this affect it? That is definitely something to keep an eye on from a strategy standpoint on Sunday. All right, when we get back into the X's and the O's and the Dex's and the O's, why Dexter Lawrence is the key to the Giants' defense and how Cliff Kingsbury can plan around him. Logan dives into the tape. Take Command Preview to wrap us up here on The Hoffman Show.